Imagine having this massive multi-billion rand shopping list. But there is a huge catch.
Right, a really big one.
Yeah, so every single purchase you make has to be, completely transparent. It has to actively fight historical inequality, and it absolutely must block scammers. So today's deep dive is into the City of Cape Town's newly amended 2025 supply chain management policy.
And our mission here is really to figure out how a massive municipality uses its colossal buying power to engineer social change
Yeah.
without, stepping on a financial minefield.
Exactly. And it's such a complex balancing act, right? Because before any city can even think about spending money on social good, they have to, well, build a fortress against fraud.
They really do. And the policy sources we're looking at show they absolutely do not mess around with this.
Yep.
I mean, they've established this strict register of tender and contract defaulters.
But defaulters register, so like a
Yeah,
blacklist.
pretty much. It
Yeah.
essentially acts as a formal ban.
Right.
So abusive suppliers are just locked out of doing any business with the city for up to 5 years.
Wow, 5 years. And they enforce these ethical boundaries right from the ground up, too. Like, city officials can't even accept a gift worth more than R350 without filing a formal declaration.
Which is practically nothing.
Right. It's essentially a financial penalty box. You break the rules, you sit out for half a decade. But, I mean, we know scammers get creative. If I'm a banned contractor, what stops me from just registering a brand new company under my cousin's name to sneak back in?
Well, the policy actually anticipates that exact loophole. They have a really heavy crackdown on what they call fronting practices.
Fronting, like corporate window dressing.
Exactly like that. A company might, use historically disadvantaged individuals as tokens, just on paper, to win contracts, but those people don't get any real economic
Don't
benefit.
hold any actual power, I'm guessing.
Exactly.
So they're just figureheads on a legal document. But how does the city actually prove that? Because a clever lawyer can make paperwork look absolutely flawless.
Oh, sure they can. But the city goes straight past the paperwork to look at the actual operational reality. The investigators actively hunt down who really holds the purse strings.
Okay, so they look at the daily executive decisions.
Yeah, they check who is signing the checks, who is physically managing the work sites, and where the profits are actually flowing. If they find that a banned individual is secretly pulling the strings of this supposedly clean company, well, that new entity gets slammed with penalties too.
Okay, so the investigative penalty box keeps the obvious scammers and the shadow directors out. But that creates a new problem, right? You now have a pool of completely legitimate businesses.
Right.
How do you decide who gets the money when, raw capitalism says pick the cheapest, but your social mission says pick the most impactful?
That is where they turn to specific mathematical formulas. Depending on the rand value of the contract, they apply either an 80-20 or a 90-10 preference point system.
Hold on, let's translate that into a real-world scenario for a second. If a company bids on, say, a paving contract, what do those numbers actually mean for them?
Let's take the 80-20 rule. So, out of a total score of 100 points, 80 points are awarded strictly for price. The lowest acceptable price gets the full 80.
Right, making sense so far.
But the remaining 20 points, however, are awarded for what they call specific goals.
You mean they get bonus points for being a local minority-owned business
Yeah.
or for helping to uplift marginalized groups?
Correct. The policy assigns those points to stimulate local economic development and really empower targeted groups that were historically disadvantaged.
Let me push back on that for just a second, though. Mathematically, couldn't a company score really high on those specific goals, but offer a higher price and still win over a cheaper competitor?
Yes, they could.
Doesn't that mean the city is intentionally choosing to pay more than it actually has to?
It does, but if we connect this to the bigger picture, that's actually a deliberate design feature. It is not a bug.
Yeah.
By capping the preference points at 10 or 20, the formula mandates a strict ceiling on exactly how much extra the city is willing to bid.
Wow. So the city has literally put a definitive mathematical price tag, like 10% or 20% on social justice.
Exactly. They guarantee value for money because price still dictates the vast majority of the weight. But they actively build community upliftment right into the cost of doing business.
Which is exactly how they balance the budget with that broader social mission. So look, if you're paying taxes in Cape Town, or honestly any major city, this math dictates how your neighborhood gets built.
Yeah, your local government is constantly trying to balance raw frugality with community upliftment.
It really puts things into perspective, trying to figure out how to use that massive shopping list to build a fairer society.
It does, and it raises an important question to think about, too. If a municipality can reduce its complex social goals and economic development targets into a strict mathematical formula of points,
right.
could an AI eventually evaluate and award these massive government contracts entirely on its own without human bias?
Handing over a multi-billion rand shopping list to a machine. Now there is a thought to leave you with until next time.